Welcome to the ETS podcast, where we are facing the challenge and shaping the future.
Everyone, thanks for joining us today on the ETS podcast. I'm really excited to come into the studio today and to bring a special guest interview for a special topic that I think is relevant for today. But before I get into that topic, let me introduce my guest. Today, I have the one, the only Rafael Dragomir here with us.
Sound effects, please.
Rafael, welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So for those that know nothing about Rafael is our behind-the-scenes guy, very much in action. He's doing video editing with our online program. He's running our studio when we do the song projects. He's the reason we have been able to be successful with our current situation in the midst of the pandemic with all the online stuff, running sound, teaching sound course. That's just naming a few of the things that he does. And I could go on and on and on. This guy is amazing, and words don't give him justice. And I know I'm embarrassing him by saying all this stuff, but it's the truth. But Rafael, I want to ask you before we get into what we're going to be talking about today, what is your background when it comes to sound and technology?
Yeah. Well, so I studied sound engineering, did my bachelor's degree here in Germany. And, you know, I'm going to try to switch to perfect English, even though I'm not a native English speaker, but I hope that's okay. Anyways, I studied sound engineering here in Germany, and I worked for quite some time as a media technician in a very good company in Austria for quite some time. And somehow God just called me here to ETS to study together with my wife, and I ended up doing what I always loved and what I still love and what I always will be loving to do.
Is it the first love of your life?
We could discuss about that.
I say that because Raphael's happily married, so I'm sure it's not the very first love, but it's a close second or third, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly.
So, Rafi, weren't you also a missionary for a while?
Yeah, that's true. I spent 1 year in Nepal and I also have a missions organization back in Austria, and I'm still very active. I'm a couple of projects there in India, Nepal. In May, we're gonna go to Africa for a crusade, and I'm really excited, looking forward for that.
Wow. Mm. Wow, that's awesome. Thank you for your heart for missions. So I have him to share all of that because I think it's important that you understand a little bit about Rafi and why I think he's qualified to talk about the subject we are going to be talking about today. So without further waiting, let's just jump right into what are we talking about today. So we want to have a conversation about technology in ministry. I think that's very, very important. And this guy has the expertise and the know-how. But specifically today, we want to look even deeper into the topic of using technology in the midst of a pandemic. So we have all been facing this horrible virus known as COVID-19, and it's affected us in so many ways. In fact, here in Germany, we're in I lost count what lockdown we're in. In mm-hmm. fact, the numbers are getting worse, and we find our ways of having to change so much and do stuff. But before we jump into that, Rafi, let me ask, before COVID came, how much would you say technology was used in the church and in ministry?
Well, I would say that there were certain churches that recognized the potential it had. And obviously, those churches did very well in COVID times because they already were prepared for that kind of stuff and were focusing on online. And in the perspective of a missionary, I think that churches didn't really focus too much on on the potential it had to reach other people. Because me as a person, I could never reach this many people in person that I would, reach online. Mm-hmm. And I think there were certain churches, the big name churches that were focusing on that. But pretty much every other church and other smaller churches or mid-sized churches, they didn't really focus too much on that. And when COVID came, it came all of a sudden and took them by surprise. And so they kind of had to adapt to
no warning.
Yeah. To what happened. So
I think a lot of churches were focused on just the people inside, as you said. And what I've seen a lot in my years of ministry is that the church somehow has become more of a museum of saints instead of a hospital for sinners and the broken.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're called to. And this has forced the church to have to change, I think, their perspective and their view. If they wanted to reach their museum of saints, if they wanted to reach their people in the church, and somehow they realize, oh, we can reach other people too.
Yeah.
So that leads me to my next question. Can you see a big change now since being in our time of COVID versus the before COVID times?
Yeah, I mean, who can't? I mean, pretty much every church had to adapt. And the ones who didn't, I'm sorry for them. We hear that a lot of them lost a lot of members and, you know, we're not able to see their faces, whether it's real or virtual. But I think a lot of churches were forced to do the switch. And I think it was so hard for them because, you know, they didn't have any kind of background in that. And all of a sudden you're overwhelmed with this ocean of technology where you could study and study and study and study and never come to an end.
Yes, and not everyone has a Raphael Dragomir sitting there to help them, unfortunately.
Well, I'm humbled, but... Yeah, that's right. And if you don't have, you know, people who are gifted in this area, it could get quite overwhelming for, you know, a normal day life believer.
And that's one of the reasons we want to actually have this podcast, this specific subject, is we want to be able to talk about some of the ways that we can make it through COVID. And maybe there are people out there that are listening that are clueless and they're trying to figure it out, but it's been a struggle. Maybe they've been using some basic things, and we can use this to help them be able to broaden their own ministry and to be even more successful within their ministry and their church.
Yes.
So that's kind of the goal. So before we get into that part, let's look here at ETS. We had to make many changes as well. In fact, when the lockdown first came, the virus first came, we went into this complete lockdown. Our students were locked down. Teachers couldn't get in. Students couldn't get out. Mm-hmm. We were forced to jump online all of a sudden, and we had only been in the classroom. We couldn't have any of our spiritual life. If you know nothing about ETS, we have cell groups. We have two devotions a week. We have chapel services. We have class meetings, and we have all kinds of stuff, and all of that came to a halt. We were not prepared, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. We had switched to a digital board some years before and digital light system, and that did not help us during the pandemic because no one could go in there and have service. So we were not ready for that. And we had to quickly start also learning how can we change, how can we move forward so that we could be more successful. And this time when the lockdown came, I think we were better prepared and ready to go. So, Rafi, what are some ways technology played a big role in ministry during the COVID season for us here at ETS, if you could share?
Yeah, I would say that it wouldn't be possible to continue as a school. You know, obviously, how do you connect with people who are miles away, and how do you continue all those things that you listed here to, you know, to happen? So I think it played a very, very big role, and it changed some of the aspects, some of our thinking. Obviously, if COVID wouldn't have happened, I don't know if where we would stand with our online program today. You know, it helped us to get motivated to create specifically for an online audience. Mm-hmm. And so I think this widened up our perspective a little bit, but also helped us to appreciate what we were so used to.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are one of the main ways that we have been able to maintain spiritual life here at ETS, like when we talk about technology?
Oh, Zoom.
Can you explain? Maybe there's people listening that have no clue what Zoom is. How would you explain that?
Yeah, well, Zoom is a meeting platform where you can meet online. And I really don't think that there is one person out there who doesn't know what Zoom is now.
Maybe. So.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with the Zoom settings by now, then you should definitely go through your settings and check all your possibilities and what you can do, you know, in terms of giving better quality to your church service. Like, short advice is to turn on the original sound when you have anything to do with music and you use an audio interface for external audio or something like that. Yeah, it basically just changes everything.
Why is that important?
Well, because Zoom has some built-in functions where it suppresses basically echoes and, you know, like it's designed for people who just talk in a room. And they have certain functions that work against a professional setting. If you like stream, you know, church services like we do in our chapel services, it would be horrible if all those automated functions jump in if you already have a professional sound system going on. And so original sound is the key for professional setting, yeah.
So Rafi, in your setup, you have a professional soundboard, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So tell me, have you ever experienced that messing up in Zoom?
Yeah, it happened once. and it happened once while I had to preach. And I guess this was the way it had to happen to me. But it's just because we were kicked out of Zoom. I don't know why. Somebody else was maybe logged in with this account and we got kicked out. And then we came back, and then I was so focused on so much different stuff because I had to do the live stream. I had to take care of our, media person. We recently switched to Pro Presenter, and then watching over the new instructed sound technician who would operate the sound system. And then having all this in mind, you can easily forget one thing, like, you know, you get kicked off by Zoom and then forget to turn on original sound. And it certainly could be heard, like it was... It was not good. And it wasn't the sound technician's fault or anything. It was just, you know, because a function was not turned on.
So the button's quite important.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
But this one button can change the difference of your worship service from a Zoom church, I guess.
Yes, yes, yes. And I mean, you know, you cannot really worship to something that sounds wrong, or you cannot really worship. I mean, okay, you can, but it's very difficult. Like if it's a sonically barrier between you and the worship team, the shape of the sound can influence so much how you feel. We even studied this, that it can, you know, give you certain behaviors or certain type of feelings. And, if the sound is good, I read in a book recently, if the sound is good, people just stand and worship. If the sound is bad, then people, you know, they turn their heads to the sound person, even though... It's not always the sound person, but yeah.
Yeah. And this is not a conversation talking about the ways we worship necessarily. We could have a whole huge discussion on that because some agree that the sound doesn't have to be perfect, that it should be whatever is coming out. That God said, make a joyful noise. He didn't say it had to be in tune or anything like that. But I believe in a spirit of excellence too.
Yeah.
And that we need to give all that we got because people are human, and these distractions do simply that. They distract them from focusing on where we're trying to guide them into the service.
And because you bring it up, distractions, you know, there are certain frequencies in a band setting, for example. If you don't realize those frequencies, and, you know, normal people who do not have a trained ear in that area, but normal people, they realize there is something in the back, even though they don't know what it is exactly, but it distracts them, you know. And I'm talking about certain frequencies that in a certain frequency range, if they are brought to your ear acoustically, then it can, you know, negatively influence your emotions.
Wow.
Yeah. And you as a sound technician or as a sound engineer, you have the power to, you know, to work with this or against this. And I think, you know, this is a topic that we could, as you said, discuss so much. And
yeah.
How important is a sound technician in the church?
I think we have our future topics coming.
Yeah.
But Rafi, we talk about Zoom and we talk about this professional board, but maybe if someone is wanting to set this up or they want to make sure they can air their worship, because right now there are many places where they're not even allowed to meet in person. All they have is Zoom. That's the case for us at ETS right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to register possibly with the government, and then you can have up to a certain number. So some churches are starting to do that, but not everyone is gathered. So what equipment do I need so that I can have like good experience for the people and reach the people that I want to reach with my ministry?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would advise everyone who is hearing this not to just put a phone in the room and have it streamed through that phone, because it will sound just very bad. So my advice would be to get a external audio interface where you can mic up your band, or a mixer that you can use as an audio interface, and then stream the direct signals, you know, with some effects into Zoom with original sound turned on. So, you know, get microphones, get an audio interface, and you can get those for really good money, for cheap money. You know, it's not a matter of thousands and thousands of euros. It's not a big investment, you know, for upping up the quality and upping up the experience, the listening experience of your members, because this is how you interact now with them, right? They don't see you in person. Pretty much their sense of hearing is very strong now over Zoom, you know, like the quality can be heard immediately. And it makes a difference if you sit on your computer for hours and hours and have good sound or a bad sound, you know. Mm-hmm. It makes it much easier for them to enjoy the church service.
And hopefully their church service isn't hours and hours, but that's another story.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, in our case, they are hours in lectures. Yeah. And then they meet for chapel service, and then they meet for, you know, devotions and cell groups and other stuff. So they are for hours and hours. Sure. And it makes a huge difference if they can enjoy it or not. Yeah. You know?
But Rafi, where can I buy one of these audio interfaces you talk about if I'm interested in that?
Everywhere. Amazon. Go on Amazon. Or my recommendation for those who are in Germany is just Thomann. Because they pretty much have, even on the cheaper side, good stuff that you can certainly use. And
and they have people, I think, there you can even reach out to if you have questions about what you're getting that can help you with making sure you get the right fit for your
needs. Exactly, yeah. They have customer support, and you can explain your situation and how it is, and they would help you in what you need.
Yep, so where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're running out of time, but I want to ask just one more question to you. We've talked about these different things that we offer and how, you know, they've got the cameras and the Zoom and the soundboard and the interfaces and stuff. Basically, for those that have not watched anything with what we do, we found that we could also go through YouTube Live, and that's become part of our ministry with using our technologies, not just through Zoom. Yeah. But don't we run Zoom to YouTube, if I'm not mistaken, somehow?
No, we stream it at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah, we stream at the same time.
This is why I'm not in charge of this part. I stand on the stage and just sing.
Well, you know, but this is where we really begin to appreciate good upload rate and good download rate on the internet.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, we have a small device, a small camera switcher where we can stream to Zoom. We use it as a webcam through Zoom, and then we stream through that device to YouTube directly. So, yeah.
Okay, and then if I wanted to go to Facebook, I can also just also link it there as well, right?
Yes, there is a function where we could. Well, you need to sign up for register and pay monthly for that function, but you could stream to YouTube, to Facebook at the same time, and to Zoom, yeah.
Okay, or you can just stream to YouTube, do your live thing there, and then share the link on your Facebook account for people to go there.
Correctly,
that saves you a little bit of money, or a good bit of money actually.
Sure.
So. But these are different ways we're doing it. And in our devotion services, we in worship, no one's in the room with us except for the technicians. Mm. Everybody is through Zoom in our school on the computer or YouTube Live. Mm-hmm. And we just encourage people to get together in the small groups that are allowed by the government regulations currently. Mm-hmm. And they can enjoy the experience almost as if they were right there with us in person because of these things that Rafi's been sharing with using the original sound and stuff. It just gives them a better experience, and it helps us to continue doing spiritual life and meeting together as the body of Christ.
Yeah, and I think if we would ask the students, it would make, like, they could testify that it certainly helps to, you know, to see them in good quality and to hear them in good quality.
Sure. Of course, everyone would rather be in person, but until we can reach that point where we're allowed to, this is what we have for the moment.
Yeah, we need to make the best out of it.
Sure. Mm. So one last question for you. How do you see this technology being used in ministry after COVID? Because we believe and we are praying that COVID is going to go away because we're all tired of it. But what would it look like for the church and ministry when we talk about technology after that? Because right now we're in a digital world. It's the only way you can really function.
Yeah.
So what was your thoughts on that?
I think if we don't take this as a learning opportunity, we really miss the point. Because if we haven't, like, realized now how much we can do with the tools of technology and how many people we can reach, you know, then I think we haven't learned our lesson. But I think that most churches are going to extend their ministry and to have like a, you know, to even have a, like a, and I watched yesterday a church service from Rick Warren. They have an online pastor, right? Wow. So they really focus on that. And there are a lot of people who are, you know, pastored by this online pastor. It's even with the generations that come up, they have a different, you know, type of approach. They have a different mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people will just, you know, they just have an online identity. I really see churches moving more and more towards the digital realm and the online world. And we should, because this is, there's already so much bad stuff on the internet, right? So, you know, we should go with the good news to those people and, yes, and reach as many as possible.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Rafi, thank you so much. That's all the time we have for today for this episode. But this has been some really great stuff, and I can't wait to come back together for future episodes to continue talking about technology and ministry. Do you have any final thoughts or anything you want to leave with?
Well, I just hope that this helps somebody, and I would just want to leave a word of encouragement. It can get so overwhelming for everyone who's, you know, so many cables and what devices do we need and everything, and you know, prices and stuff. But I want to leave just a word of encouragement for everyone who is willing to start or willing to go into this topic. YouTube has a lot of stuff that you can learn from, you know, a lot of tutorials. It's easier than you think once you get into it. And there are so many resources like never before out there that really makes it so easy to learn and so easy to set things up. And I just encourage every one of you to make use of the tools that we have and to, you know, bring the word out to as many people as possible.
Right. Rafi, can I put you on the spot and ask if you'd pray over the people?
Yeah, sure. Dear Lord, thank you for this podcast. Thank you that you gave us the opportunity to reach so many people through the tools you gave us. And Lord, I just pray that you help the churches to realize the need of reaching people who are in the digital realm. And I pray that you give them the support and the people, the right people to make use of those tools. And I just pray that as we do that, that your word will go to many, many souls and your coming will be faster through that and that your mission will be accomplished even through those tools. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rafi, so much for joining me today for this interview, hearing about technology, specifically looking at using technology in the midst of a pandemic. And we want to thank you, the listener, for taking a moment to listen and to hear, yeah, what we have to say. This is another method we have found of how we can use technology to get the word out that we developed on our own also.
Yes.
And you can easily do things like this as well as the services we've talked about using Zoom and stuff. So stay encouraged, continue pushing so that we can build the kingdom of God together. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the ETS podcast. For more information, visit our website at www.ets-kanivas.de.